Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan, Sudan and the rest of Africa this Friday, November 8, 2024. South Sudanese women are trained to become politicians.
When we joined, it was all about self-reflection, that is knowing who you are and what is your mission. It is now time for us to take a step and then to go down to the community to raise awareness to the young girls who are down there, because there's no way we can run away from politics.
And a Kenyan woman wins in the U.S. elections.
So I sit here and I take that mantle, right, to educate our community and say, hey, you know, there's also power when we get our people at the table.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A new training program has some graduates saying it will help them to fight for women's rights by creating awareness at the grassroots level. The Friedrich Ebert Foundation, a German political foundation, trained 14 young women in South Sudan's capital, Juba, to become politicians. For VOA News, Dennis Logonyi has details from Juba.
Susan Anzoa Alfred says her training with the Frederick Ebert Foundation will help her to advance gender equality in the society.
When we joined, it was all about self-reflection, that is knowing who you are and what is your mission. It is now time for us to take a step and then to go down to the community to raise awareness to the young girls who are down there, because there is no way we can run away from politics. If we need change in this country, then it has to be inclusivity.
14 young women attended intensive training on politics for 5 months, courtesy with the Friedrich Ebert Foundation, a German political foundation. The non-profit prepares young adults to participate in the political, trade union and civil spheres. Lina Alwell William, a student leader at the Stafford University in Juba, says she has learned ways to help women in Northern Baragazel State.
At first, we don't know what is our right. We'll have that fear in heart, like it's as if you talked about this, they will deny you, why are you saying this? But through this training, it has given me a strength. Like for me now, I know my right, and I will be able to reach out to my fellow women under the grassroots. If I'm to start, maybe to start within where I study, like at the university, and even going down to the grassroots.
Nono Diana Allison, an activist with the Center for Inclusive Governance, Peace and Justice, says women in South Sudan lack opportunities to acquire life skills.
This is a very unique opportunity, because oftentimes we have been advocating for women's inclusion in political spaces. We have been advocating for women's inclusion in different decision-making spaces. But the question is, as we advocate for women's inclusion in political parties, are women in those political spaces? So I think this event answers that question. We are giving them the skills, giving them the knowledge, the confidence, and the self-esteem to be able to take up the job.
Alimure Ali Auda, a program manager at the Frederick Ebert Foundation, says the women leaders also could qualify for grants at the end of the training program.
Today we have graduated them. The next step is one, they melt back to their various institutions or political parties where they come from. Then they now begin to use these skills to excel in their future dreams. We have opened for them a call of proposal for a mini grant of €10,000 that they have to implement within a period of 3 months.
The Frederick Ebert Foundation is the only German political organization with a permanent presence in South Sudan and has been active in Juba since 2008. It focuses both on the political elite and non-state actors that have crucial roles in shaping the political future of South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
Still on women affairs, Hulda Heltzley has made history in the Midwestern U.S. state of Minnesota, becoming the only person born in Kenya to win election to the State House of Representatives. Heltzley, who is a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, will represent a constituency northwest in the main city of Minneapolis. Her family came to the United States when she was a child. My colleague Abdul Shakur Aboud with VOA Swahili Service interviewed her yesterday. Here is part of their conversation.
So I think the biggest challenge that for our immigrant community is that we come here and we settle, right? We think that we have arrived. But I don't blame our community. It's a lack of knowledge, not understanding and knowing how this system works, not knowing, you know, what the value of this system and what that can bring into their lives. And so I sit here and I take that mantle, right, to educate our community and say, hey, you know, there's also power when we get our people at the table, right? When we get our people to talk about, you know, this is what's important to us. And because that's the whole essence of politics, right? And being a leader in that space, making sure that you're fighting for the voices of those people who might not know what's possible. And the fact that I had a little taste of what's possible and the resources that are out here, it is my job to go back to my community and tell them, hey, there are resources here. This is how this system works. Let's work together to mobilize and make sure that we are also taking a piece of the pie.
So what are you going to do for your community, for Minnesota, as the first woman, Black African from Africa, from Kenya?
From Kenya, well, that is an honor that I don't take lightly, as being the first Kenyan-born, right? A lot of people have been like, well, I don't know if she's the first Kenyan because we had Obama, right? That was the historical. As a woman, you're right. I'm the first woman. You're right. I am the first woman, and that carries a lot of, you know, responsibilities. And I don't want to be the last. Like Kamala always says, you know, I'm going to be the first, but I'm not going to be the last. And I'm hoping that this moment right here is a testimony that, you know, you can come to this country, work hard, take care of business, know your craft, stick to it, be consistent, and get to where you want to be.
I know it's too early.
Yes.
Have you an agenda? What are your first, you know?
My agenda, yes. So I'm excited about championing a couple of things. My constituency, obviously, you know, the people who elected me, Senate District 38A, that is Brooklyn Park and Osseo, you know, they are worried about public safety. So I want to champion policies that really promote a community-centered public safety policies. I want to champion options, housing options, and making sure that our renters are protected. Rights. I want to champion workers' rights, where we have strong unions that are really supporting the community and making sure that we do have, you know, livable wages. We do have, you know, protected workforce. And of course, small businesses. You know, we want to make sure that Senate District 38A or Senate District 38 in general, you know, has a thriving and robust business, small business economy. Right now, you know, the small businesses in my district are ran by immigrants, right? African immigrants. So I'm super excited to come in and look at what's possible and then go back to my community and say, hey, this is the resources that are out there that are going to help you keep being consistent and also grow your businesses. So I'm definitely looking forward to championing small businesses.
So what message do you have? How to tell the other colleagues? There were a lot of Africans who did not succeed. Your campaign reached the climax. What
yes.
message do you have to them for the next time or what to do?
My message is simple. Be consistent. You know, commit to this space. I ran for Senate the last election cycle. We put in a great fight. We lost, but I take that loss as a learning opportunity, right? So I took all the lessons that I learned from the Senate race and brought it to the House race. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned is utilizing data, right? And so this time around, we definitely made decisions and we tweaked our strategic plan based on the data. And so I want to tell our people, keep going. I know that my brother Sam Wangi lost just by a few, I think it was like 46 votes, right? And I look back and I go, you are that close and this is your first time running? My brother, keep going. So I want to encourage our people. We need more of us to run. There's enough space in this legislature for more people of color, especially immigrants, because that's the voice that is missing.
That's Huldah Hitzley, an immigrant from Kenya who this week was elected to the Minnesota State Legislature. She spoke with VOA's Abdul Shakur Aboud. Medical workers in Baliet County are demanding for the payment of their 5 months incentives. Upper Nile State Ministry of Health says it is aware of the demands of the medical workers in Baliet and urge UNICEF to pay the health workers on time. Mamer Abraham Kwart reports from Baliet County.
Sevit Riakwal is a nurse at Baliet County Hospital. He says health workers went on a strike last week demanding their five-month incentives. He says he cannot continue to work because he needs to look for other ways of making money to care for his children.
You have all brothers, all children of them there in school. You are the one taking care of them. And you know the situation of South Sudan now. Everything in the market is concerned with money. So my message is to the government, let them do something so that people can work well.
Deng Anai, Baliet County Health Officer, says his office remains open despite the strike.
It's affecting us. Even to get tea in the market is difficult. But we cannot let our people suffer while we are working. Because when you are working as a health personnel, first of all, you commit yourself to who is your people to get treatment. But we hope that the money will come.
Juma Kwal is Baliet County Health Director. He says he has received several calls from workers demanding payment. Kwal urges Baliet medical workers to be patient, adding that the national government should intervene and ensure health workers are paid on time.
Since 1st of July, we expect 1st of August to receive the first incentive of July. It haven't happened and it doesn't happen. The health workers whom are under this project, they are still working. I used to think a lot because we are a human being and you know those people, they have a lot of responsibilities. For my people, I can say you have to be patient until these issues will be solved. My message to the government at the higher level there, I encourage them to do supervision to all counties and to know the situation of the health workers there. Because sometimes for you to get supervision from a state level, at the level of the ministry to any county, it used to happen maybe once after 10 years, which is incorrect.
Isaac Kwanga Ogilo, Director General of Upper Nile State's Ministry of Health, says the World Bank and UNICEF have not released funding for health workers in Baliet County. Richard Ruati, the UNICEF communications officer, says funds for Baliet County medical workers will be released next week.
The delay in getting funds to our partner in Baliet, the health unit, is not intentional. So what has been happening is just clearance of health link took a little bit longer with our headquarters. So that clearance has not been done. So that means by next week we will be transferring funds to the partner.
He adds that UNICEF works for accountability when transferring funds to its implementing partners. For VOA News, I am Amir Abraham Kwart, reporting from Baliet, the capital of Upper Nile State's Baliet County.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, European allies react to Donald Trump's victory. Find out more after the break.
Listener of South Sudan in Focus, we have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Donald Trump's agenda calls for him to deliver on key campaign talking points: border security, strengthening the economy, and putting America first. While his promises are bold, Details on how they will be carried out are few. Tina Trina reports.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
As it became evident on election night that Donald Trump would once again become U.S. president, he gave a victory speech in which he reiterated his agenda for the next 4 years. Border security remains a top priority. Trump has said that he will launch the largest deportation program of criminals in American history and has called for the death penalty for any migrant who kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer. The tough talk was less evident on election night.
We're going to have to seal up those borders and we're going to have to let people come into our country. We want people to come back in, but we have to let them come back in, but they have to come in legally.
Vice President-elect J.D. Vance touched on another key agenda item.
And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to leave the greatest economic comeback in American history.
We're going to be paying down debt. We're going to be reducing taxes.
It's less clear how the new administration will accomplish its economic goals without adding to an already growing deficit. But Trump's speech mentioned a person who might help. Tech mogul Elon Musk, who Trump has said would lead a government efficiency commission to reduce fiscal waste and fraud. Trump commented on Musk's recent Starship rocket launch.
And it was a beautiful thing to see, and I called Elon. I said, Elon, was that you? He said, yes, it was. I said, who else can do that? Can Russia do it? No. Can China do it? No. Can the United States do it other than you? No. Nobody can do that. I said, that's why I love you, Elon.
Experts say Trump's praise of Musk is about projecting strength and might on the global stage. Stephanie Ellis Baker is a reader in sociology at the City University of London.
This idea about, are we the only country that can do this? Oh, yes, we're the only country that can do this. And I think Trump is able to use this image of Musk as not only a tech entrepreneur, but a visionary, a genius, to support this idea that he's moving forward, not as an individual, but as a nation.
In his speech, Trump told supporters what his guiding principle would be in office.
I will govern by a simple motto, promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises.
One of those promises would be what he calls the coming golden age of America. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Still on U.S. politics, allies in Europe are debating what Donald Trump's win in the U.S. presidential election could mean for their security and economy. Trump's first term in office was characterized by often turbulent relations with EU and NATO partners. As Henry Ridgewell reports, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has amplified Europe's concerns over the transatlantic alliance.
Around 50 leaders met in Budapest Thursday for a summit of the European political community set up in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron said Europe must stand up for itself as it prepares for the next Trump presidency in the United States.
He is going to defend the interests of the American people, and that is legitimate and a good thing. The question is, are we ready to defend the interests of Europeans?
The NATO alliance remains the bedrock of Europe's security amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ed Arnold is an analyst with Britain's Royal United Services Institute.
The first implication for the alliance is how to continue support for Ukraine if there's an expected drawdown of military assistance from the US.
Could Europe make up that shortfall? Ian Bond of the Centre for European Reform.
Yes, but it would take a lot more effort than Europe is making now.
On the campaign trail, Trump said he would end the Russia-Ukraine war on day one, though he didn't say how. Analysts say Ukraine fears being forced into an unfavourable peace deal. Again, analyst Ed Arnold.
Actually, there might be a bit of a worry where there's some within Europe to say, well, why would we ramp up aid now if there's going to be a negotiated settlement fairly soon.
Former US government officials say Trump considered pulling the country out of NATO altogether in his first term. Jonathan Monten, US foreign policy analyst at University College London.
I think he likes the idea that he's keeping foreign allies as well as adversaries guessing as to his ultimate intentions. I think he sees that as a source of leverage, as a source of power.
But NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, also attending the Budapest summit, praised Trump for getting allies to spend more on defense.
When he was president, he was the one in NATO who stimulated us to move over the 2%.
U.S. allies could also face economic turbulence when Trump enters the White House. Garrett Martin of American University in Washington.
The declarations or the claims of putting in about 60% or more tariffs on all imports from China will have to have a major disruptive impact on world trade. And there will be repercussions on the EU, on Europe, on the UK and elsewhere. And that we can expect also tariffs on imports from the EU as well.
Add it all up, and in Europe, there is nervousness over what a second Donald Trump presidency will bring. Analysts say the unpredictability means there is little its leaders can do to prepare. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News.
And it's that time we wait to hear from you, what you think about this show, what we are doing good and what we should improve on. We start with three listeners who recorded themselves and sent the voice note to us.
Hello, VOA, South Sudan in Focus. I am Jacob Diome Chuang in Lagos State. The win for Donald Trump means peace to the whole world, Asia and Middle East in particular. This time we hope he will give his attention to South Sudan because we are part of the world too. In his first administration, he really forgotten and neglected South Sudan in particular. This time, he should be a leader for the world, and particularly to Africa that is facing a lot of challenges, that has been devastated by the conflict, diseases, and climate change. May his administration favors the whole world, and particularly my country, South Sudan. Thank you.
Good evening, VOA. This is Rafael Juma from South Sudan. It is just about the congratulated message to the new president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. I am your supporter since day one. So let your economic reforms come to us in South Sudan. We are really suffering. Thank you very much.
This is Peter Koshanyang Majangdut in Panyagor, Trigis County. With the incident along Juba Bor Highway, I urge the authorities concerned, the Central Equatorial and the Jonglei State government to make sure that safety and security for the commuters is assured along that road, so that commuters are safe. So let's all the cars moving should be escorted in order to make people safe.
And Cyrus Kiri from Juba writes, greetings to you, John Tanza. My deepest condolences are with the people of Ondurua. No one has the right to take someone's life for no reason. May the souls of those who were gunned down rest in peace, he concludes. Another listener, Mabor Alat Rengu from Lake States, writes, I am taking this golden opportunity to appreciate Americans for the democratic elections they held on the 5th of November 2024 by giving Donald Trump another chance. Thank you, Americans, for the wise decision. African leaders should learn from you because presidency is not a kingdomship. So if your term has come to an end, give others chance to rule. Another listener, Hakim Adinga from Yei, writes, hello, VOA. The visit of President William Ruto to South Sudan will result into a decision on the completion of the Tumaini peace process in a manner that puts the citizens of South Sudan above the interests of any political leaders. Mading Malual Aluang in Juba writes, congratulations to President Joe Biden and President Trump, or President-elect Trump, who won. The outcome of the election reflects the choice of the American people and the world respects the discipline and democratic spirit of the United States. To President Joe Biden and his supporters, the Democrats, you have shown the world a model of dignity and steadfast values. May God bless President Biden, President Trump, and the United States, and all the people across the globe. A listener who calls himself Natale Guya from Yambio writes, "Hello, John Tanza. We are really very devastated to hear about the killings within South Sudan in Mogiri village. The government of South Sudan must do something to stop cattle raids. Losing 22 lives of people at the same time is painful to families and the country as well. Something has to be done." Samuel Remo in Yei writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Kamala Harris shouldn't be surprised to hear the final results of the election announcement. In any election around the world, one is to win and the other has to accept defeat. In principle of democracy, which is the rule of law for all, I wish Kamala Harris could win elections to improve reproduction system in America and in Africa at large, which had killed millions of women when giving birth." Another listener who calls himself Peter Ajak Ayom in Bor Jungle State writes, "Good evening, John Tanza. The democratic race between the new president-elect Donald Trump and Kamala Harris has finally come to an end, and we hope the American people will be resilient and respect women around the world. I knew that a woman will never rule America, though the U.S. has been in the center for women's participation. Welcome back to the White House for the second chance. This gives a sign of never giving up." Daniel Ariak Michael in Yei Town writes, "Hello, John Tanza. My sincere congratulations to the Republican White House winner, Donald Trump, who is returning to the White House as the 47th president of the United States for the second time, following a dramatic victory over Kamala Harris. Trump's victory, focusing on his economic policy as he puts America first in his agenda. Therefore, we urge the Trump administration to also see beyond and reconstruct African economy, who are in total collapse. I must say, views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America, nor the management of South Sudan in Focus. That's all we prepared for you this Friday, November 8, 2024. We now leave you with Jose Chameleon and the song Baraka. Been listening to Jose Chameleon with the song Haraka Aina Baraka, which translated in English, it means when you hurry, you don't get any blessing. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.